This is the Lou Rockwell Show.
One question I get a lot, and I know Dr. Mark Thornton gets a lot, is what do we do during the Depression? I mean, exactly how does the average regular person who's aware of the kinds of economic troubles that this country is facing and facing increasingly in the future, what does the regular person do, the non David Rockefeller? And so very glad to have Dr. Thornton here. He's a senior fellow at the Mises Institute, author of such books as The Economics of Prohibition, Economics of the Civil War. He's somebody who specialized in, I know in all the speeches he gives around the country, has people clamoring, asking him, Dr. Thornton, what should we do? So I want to ask him that today. Mark, what should we do?
Great question, Lou. It's great to be here with you on this to address this depressing question. It's very complex. We face some very difficult times: inflation, higher taxes, and economic depression. And it's something we need to be prepared for. And so what I'd like to discuss is what I refer to as Boy Scout economics. Always be prepared. Whether or not a depression is coming, most of us live in areas of the country where you can get hit by hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, snowstorms, earthquakes, droughts, and fires. And that's kind of what an economic depression is. It sort of wipes the surface clean. So we all need to be prepared all the time, but especially today in the face of a coming economic depression.
Mark, what about the banks? You know, we have all the photos of people lining up at IndyMac, and even though the FDIC says that nobody's lost anything, it's my understanding that there's about $1.1 billion in so-called uninsured deposits at that thrift that have been lost. What do people do? I mean, we all have to deal with banks. We know that they're all fundamentally bankrupt because of the fractional reserve system, but we can't do without them. So how do we handle them?
Well, IndyMac probably is just the cutting edge of this economic storm, and many banks are going to fail. The government itself estimates that 150 banks are going to fail this year. The number is probably going to be much greater. Of course, one of the general considerations is you want to get away from the U.S. dollar as much as possible. But of course, we all use banking. We use the banking system. We all generally have money in one account or another. So of course, you need to be sensical about this. A lot of depositors at IndyMac had more than $100,000 in a single account, and therefore it's not insured by FDIC. And so that's, you know, the very basic thing is to not keep more than $100,000 in a single banking account. There's no guarantee that you're going to get your money back, but it's better than having no backing whatsoever. There is a program called CDARS, C-D-A-R-S, where the FDIC insures up to $50 million of your deposits. You bring your money to a selected bank that participates, and they essentially take up to $50 million and distribute it into banks all across the country. So therefore, you have at least that nominal insurance, and you also have diversification across a large number of banks. So I'm not a proponent of FDIC or anything like that, but it seems like it's at least a common sense approach to people who have large amounts of cash balances.
Mark, what about, you know, more basic things? What about gold? We all believe in the gold standard as versus the fiat money that the Federal Reserve emits and has caused this depression and so many other troubles, rising prices, redistributionism, and so forth. But should people own gold? What about the precious metals?
I'm a big proponent of precious metals. I believe that everyone should go on their own personal gold standard and hold much of their liquid assets, even most of their liquid assets, in gold and silver bullion and coins, etc., because you need to at least diversify into 50% of your liquid assets into gold and silver, so that as the dollar goes down, the gold will go up and you'll at least remain equal or level. And so I would encourage everyone to get out of dollars as much as possible and to get into gold and silver coins as much as possible as an inflation hedge and, as you know, in dire economic circumstances, as a return to money itself.
The great Bert Blumert, in the coin business for 50 years, always recommends in terms of that you always, when you own gold and silver, you may be a numismatist, maybe you are a coin collector. That's, of course, a wonderful hobby. That's for the specialist. But for those of us who want to own gold and silver to protect ourselves, you want to go to the most liquid coins, which are, and also the lowest premium coins. That would be the Kruger Rand, Canadian Maple Leaf, the American Gold Eagle are examples of these coins. They're tradable all over the world instantly, and also the American Silver Eagle. Also, my own favorite is so-called junk silver that is heavily circulated, say, Morgan Silver dollars, which are cheaper to own than, say, the American Silver Eagle of the present time. But also, as you say, bars are great, too. But my guess is, as you start out, that owning the bullion coins, gold and silver, might be the way to go.
Oh, absolutely. And they're all beautiful coins, too. And you can hold a large amount of value in a small container, so it's not like it takes up a lot of room. I always recommend the first purchase be junk silver coins, and then move on to gold bullion coins, the American Eagle and the Cougar and so forth. You know, and Bert's been in the business for a long time, and got to think that all of his customers are really, really happy with their relationship with Bert Blumert over these years, and accumulating a large amount of security, economic sanity, and a tremendous value, and the good feeling that you get from having that type of security, that type of economic insurance, as well as a beautiful product.
I'm glad you mentioned the other kinds of junk silver coins, because you can also buy dimes and quarters and half dollars, as well as dollars. These are from the days when the U.S. government still minted sound money, still minted silver coins. Lyndon Baines Johnson eliminated the silver in American circulating coinage and gave us what I think of as the bologna sandwich, Cooper nickel coins that don't sound as good, don't look as good, and of course aren't worth anything beyond a very, very tiny amount for the base metal that's in them, beyond, of course, the value that the government puts on it. So these silver coins from the old days look much different. They're just wonderful to hold in your hand, to drop them on a surface of a table. You can immediately tell the sound is different. I want to add one other thing that Bert always advises. He says, keep your gold and silver yourself. Don't allow anybody to store it for you. Don't let anybody else hold it for you. You have it under your own control in a safe place. And don't let some company say that they're going to hold it in their vault. You hold it in your own safe deposit box, your own home, some other place you would feel is safe. Don't let a dealer store it for you.
Yeah, and be diversified as to where it is stored and have it secure. Those are important considerations for everyone, really. And to have, it used to be traditional economic advice that everyone hold gold and silver as a hedge against inflation. And I remember when the silver coins went out of circulation, that a lot of my relatives and friends of relatives, everybody knew that they wanted to keep those silver coins. And so everybody had coffee cans filled with those old silver coins. And as a little kid, I couldn't understand it. But of course, they were all on the ball, so to speak. And all that coinage that they saved has continued to rise in value. And, a dollar worth of silver coins now is worth $20. And it looks like it's going to go ever higher over long periods of time.
I remember Dr. Francis Davis, a physician and magazine publisher who I once worked for when I edited a journal of medicine and economics. He knew what was going to happen with LBJ. And for maybe the 6 months preceding getting rid of the silver, he would drive from his office in Oklahoma City to Las Vegas every single weekend. And in those days, you could buy a bag of 1,000 silver dollars for $1,050. And so he would fill up his car, his big Oldsmobile, with bags of 1,000. So I don't know how many he brought back, but he did. he was very smart and did exactly the right thing. That, of course, is not, unfortunately, available to us today. But you still can protect yourself. And, Mark, you also mentioned about cutting your standard of living. I want to mention one thing that, I'll say, advice I took myself, and I'm very glad I did, and it seems to be a very good thing for everybody to do now, cut up your credit cards. Don't have credit cards in your wallet or your purse. Stop borrowing. And of course, the rates, the fees and the interest rates are going up on credit cards because of the trouble the banks are in. Just use your debit card. Don't borrow anymore. And that's one way to cut your standard of living. Why give these crooked institutions, the banks, these vast fees? Just use a debit card. That seems to be one step for all of us towards financial sanity. Pay off your balances. Don't charge anymore. And just to make sure you don't, cut the cards up. When the new ones come in, cut them up. throw them away.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely a necessary advice for most Americans. Get rid of those credit cards. Get rid of the credit card debt. I mean, that's the first one you want to pay down and pay off and get it behind you. I haven't had a credit card in many years now. And it makes things a lot easier once you get off that credit habit. And so that's the best place to start. And, you know, just in general, people don't know how to get started in all this. Well, you stop buying things as much and you work a little bit more. And everybody can do this. You know, you can do basic things that you're going to need to know in hard economic times, like how to cook your own meals, how to clean your own clothes, how to wash and fix your car, how to clean and fix various things around the house, even starting gardening and that sort of thing. So you're working more, you're producing what you otherwise would have to go out in the market and pay a lot more for. And so those simple things that everyone needs to know anyways is what everybody can do starting today to reduce their expenditures, to increase, in effect, their incomes, so that you can devote money or savings to reducing those credit card debts, ultimately eliminating them, and then start to build your savings and start to buy, you know, junk silver and gold coins and things of that nature. And then all of a sudden, your economic stability improves tremendously, and you don't have as many bills coming in, and you have more savings, and in that way you're going to be prepared for economic times, whether it's through gold and inflation, more work, and fewer expenditures. So that's definitely the way to go.
Mark, I want to endorse everything you've said, and I just want to add one point that Murray Rothbard always taught us about. The things that are happening to us, you know, what Mark is describing is absolutely essential conduct. But if you think about it, it's actually we're being forced into diminishing the division of labor, forced into lowering our standards of living. This is not a result of economic error. This is not public-spirited men and women in Washington trying to do the best for us and making mistakes. This is a ripoff. We are being ripped off. Our money is being stolen. Our lives are being made worse. Our children's lives are being made worse. Older people's lives are being made worse. Because of the band of thieves in Washington, their Federal Reserve, their wars, their taxes, their spending, their interventions, their subsidies, everything they do is making the average person worse off. And if we want to try to prevent this sort of thing in the future, if we want to try to preserve and enhance our freedom, we have to blame the government, blame the special interests who are connected to it, the banking industry, the military-industrial complex, and so forth. These people are ripping you off just as much as if you were being robbed by a mugger on the street. It's morally and absolutely no different. So we have to be angry at these people. If we seek to and educate ourselves, take the actions to protect ourselves, and become activists for freedom. Dr. Mark Thornton, thanks so much. And I want to urge everybody to take a look at his archive on LouRockwell.com. You can see how to buy his books at the bottom of all his articles, too. Look under Mark Thornton on the Columnist Archives. Mark, thanks very much.
Thank you, Lou.
You've been listening to The Lou Rockwell Show. Produced by LouRockwell.com, the best-read libertarian website in the world. If you'd like to advertise on this podcast or on the website, email advertise@LouRockwell.com. And thanks for listening.